And so we're in this series, as you just saw, called Tough Love, that we're looking and taking some time to reflect on relationships, especially the tough ones. The tough ones where we might not agree with people, people that annoy us or frustrate us. And these could be all kinds of people, right? Whether they're in our families or workplaces or school or neighbors or all those kinds of things. Well, today I wanted to start off with thinking about friendships, about people who are close with us. And it's actually said that most adults, believe it or not, do not have three close friends, people that you can confide in or talk to or get to know and get together with. And so that's a little, maybe a challenge for some of us to develop those friendships. But I was thinking about friendships and some of my favorite friendships, or maybe most popular friendships that have occurred over the course of my life, and maybe some of the shows and movies and stuff that I've seen, and maybe you can relate to some of these. So I'm going to put some pictures up on the screen. I want to have you help me identify the friendships. Can you guys help me with that? So if you can give the names of the people and then maybe the show that they come from, okay? So let's try the first one. Top Gun, who are they? What's their names? Goose and Maverick, yes. So that's a friendship right there, and a great movie to watch. Okay, what about the next one? It's a little more difficult. Anybody? Cher? Cher and Dion from Clueless. From Clueless. If you haven't watched it, go get it, right? Or go watch it, stream it today. It's another favorite show. And then this was from TGI, here's the next one. Harry Potter, and what are their names? Okay, so some of you guys are Harry Potter fans, apparently. So some good friendships in those stories. And next one, The Lion King, favorites, Timon and Pumbaa, right? Right, you have to start singing the song, a little Hakuna Matata, sing along with that. What about the next one? Okay, this is TGIF. My childhood right here. Steve Urkel, do you remember the names of the girl that he liked? She's the one on the left. You remember her name? Laura Winslow. Laura Winslow, he had a crush on Laura Winslow. And then on the other side is Myra Bunkhouse, who liked Urkel, who liked him. So you can go back and refresh your memory on some of those. Everybody like TGIF fans, so those of us from the 90s. And the next one, Bluey, and who's Dalmatian? What's her name? Ren and Stimpy. No, wrong show. Wrong show. Close, but I had to look this up. It's Chloe. Chloe, I don't know. Those of you with like small children. Okay, I got the thumbs up in the back. So good. Extra points there. So not Ren and Stimpy, I'm sorry. But some of the you know, our favorite shows, they have these relationships and friendships that we adore and watch. But isn't it true that like most of the time, like the core of the shows are actually like the problems that they face? Like the issues that get in between them. I mean, I want you to think for a second. Think of someone that you've been friends with for a long time. Maybe somebody growing up or from school or a neighbor or somebody that you've been friends with a long time. And chances are, though, in that relationship, there have been some times of frustration. There have been some rough times. There are times that you have come at things from different angles or had different perspectives on things. Sometimes maybe somebody said something and really messed something up. Bless you. Maybe somebody disappointed you, or you disappointed the friend. That it's interesting, though, that you still call them a friend, though. Because despite those things, you still like each other. You still like each other. You still call each other's friends. And so it got me really thinking about these relationships. And so let's broaden that. So from friendships, also family relationships. Church family, by the way, is included in that. Marriage relationships. Thinking about those relationships and the hard times that we encounter. When hurt happens in a relationship, what makes a difference between one that endures and one that falls apart? You never think about that? Like, you probably had some relationships and friendships in the past that kind of just fell apart.
And then there's some that, yeah, you've been through a lot together. You've had those times of very heated discussions and whatnot, but you still call each other friends. Like, why is that? Because by definition, relationships with people are messy. They're messy. They're going to be messy. They're great because they offer connection and companionship and love, but they're also very ripe for very hard things. And if you're in any relationship or friendship long enough, it's almost guaranteed that someone will do something that will hurt you, and you will do something that will hurt someone else. It kind of reminds me a bit of a proverb, though. When answering that question, when hurt happens in a relationship, what makes the difference between one that endures and one that falls apart? From Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, says this little pithy statement: one who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend. Maybe the most important part there is that learning and practicing the art of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the essential thing to maintaining relationships. It's kind of like the importance of having grace. That's what helps relationships survive and go on to thrive. What makes the difference between one that endures and one that falls apart is this little thing called forgiveness, this hard thing called forgiveness and having grace for one another. There's a popular scripture in Matthew chapter 18 where it takes place during a time, and it's in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is recorded as doing some very hard teaching. He's with his disciples, right, his crew, his guys, and once again, they're coming from all different backgrounds and all different places and all different things in their lives, and Jesus is teaching them, and he's talking to them, and imagine this: Peter, one of the disciples, interrupts Jesus. And he interrupts Jesus, and the scripture says this: and Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" I want to just pause there. Peter straight up interrupts Jesus. He interrupts, he jumps in. And if you know anything about Peter, I encourage you to read the rest of the gospel, by the way. If you learn anything about Peter, Peter is one who often speaks before he thinks. You know anybody like that? Don't give them the nudge, don't give them the look. He speaks before he thinks. And I think, I'm just guessing this, but I'm thinking that Jesus, Jesus is teaching once again, Peter's like, "Hey, by the way, I have a question. Like, my brother sins. I think Jesus probably rolled his eyes at Peter. It's not in the scripture. This is Pastor Chris's interpretation. I think he rolled his eyes at Peter because it's very ironic coming from Peter himself. Because we see so many times in the relationship between Peter and Jesus, we see so many times that Jesus has to forgive Peter for his mistakes, like over and over. So who is this guy coming up and asking a question? Well, how many times do I need to forgive, right? It's very ironic. But I do have to say, I love the question. I love the question. It's very honest, isn't it? Like, what's the limit, right? Like, how many times? Often we want to ask that. Like, okay, where do I go from here? What's the limit when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus? Like, there's got to be one, right? There's all kinds of limits in life. But how much, you know, you take a bowl and you start filling with water, it's going to, like, there's a limit. There's limits to all kinds of things. So Jesus, when it comes to forgiveness, what is the limit? How many times? When is enough? Peter thinks seven is a great number. Seven is God's number, right? Like, but a seven should be enough. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of times to forgive someone. But then Jesus says this. Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." 77 times. Another translation says 70 times seven, which is 490 times. That's a lot. That's a lot. And you think about this literally, like some people would be, okay, well, give me a number. So then on the 490th time, I let him have it. I cut him off. I do my thing, and that's about it. But of course, Jesus is not talking about an absolute number here. He's not saying, hey, keep the tally, and then when you reach the number, they're gone, that kind of thing. Jesus is using a hyperbole, which is an exaggeration. He's basically saying a lot, like a lot of times. being that forgiveness needs to be an everyday sort of thing in the lives of followers of Jesus. It should be something that marks us different than other people in the world. And it should happen again and again and again. And he's saying here that there is no real end to it. Why? Because you've received it. Because you've received it too. Because we have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us and forgives us time after time. So the least we can do is to forgive others. So let's talk about that. So I'm going to talk specifically today, though, about a certain kind of forgiveness. So I'm going to call it an everyday kind of forgiveness, an everyday kind of forgiveness. Like these are the things that happen on an everyday basis. Like, you know, forgiveness is a very blanket term in this way, but I want to talk about everyday forgiveness. Forgiveness around the slights. The slights, you know, the ways that people like hurt or harm or say different things. And the reason why it's so important is it's kind of like the grease that makes relationships run. I mean, think about it. Like, if your car engine had absolutely no grease or oil or anything, would it work well? No, I don't think so, right? You have to take it into the friendly mechanic down the street. It'll start screeching and squealing. Like, forgiveness is really what makes relationships run. And without it, without forgiveness, dare I say, it causes this thing called bitterness to take root. Bitterness inside of us. Scripture actually defines bitterness as a deadly root. A deadly root that grows and grows and causes harm to us inside as well as relationships. But everyday forgiveness helps prevent that. Helps to accomplish long-lasting relationships, and I think it's fundamental to our lives. But of course, I think as we define what forgiveness is, we also have to look at for what forgiveness is not. The truth be told, a lot of times what we think is forgiveness or what characterizes forgiveness is actually not. So I want to look at today, I want to look at three myths about everyday forgiveness, things that we get wrong about forgiveness that Jesus is not pointing to here. And the first myth about everyday forgiveness is that forgiveness is a one-time decision. Forgiveness is a one-time decision. That's the first myth. So there's a story of a Sunday school teacher with children. She had just concluded her lesson and wanted to make sure that she had made her point in the class. And so she said to the class of 8-year-olds, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin from God?" And there was a short pause in the room. The kids looked around. And then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up. "You gotta sin," he said. Right? From the mouths of babes. But think about that. Forgiveness. We usually think of forgiveness as three little words, right? What are they? I am sorry, or I'm sorry, right? I am sorry. We usually think of forgiveness, I'm sorry, right? Somebody, like a child hurts another one. What do you say? I'm sorry, right? Okay, and then move on. I forgive you. Say it and move on, and then we're done. And we think of it that way. But it's a little confession time. Have you ever said those words and not really meant them? Right? I'm sorry, right? That's what the little child says to the other one. I'm sorry, right? You say it like that. You make it makes a point. I'm sorry. You really mean I'm sorry? You know, you said, and maybe there's been times too, you confess this, that you've said those words and wanted to mean them, but you just couldn't. You couldn't inside. Have you ever said them and felt it, but then later still started ruminating and still started feeling bitter again? And that's real, folks. And that's why forgiveness is not just a one-time decision. Forgiveness is a process. It's a process. It's a deliberate decision. It does involve decisions, but it involves decisions over and over and over and over again. And for some of us, and in some situations, it takes a long time until we're ready to do so. And we don't need to feel guilty about that. Once again, it's a process and it's a trajectory. And it involves internal work inside of us to think and to pray and to take the time to be honest with ourselves and honest with God and honest with the other one about what happened, about our feelings, and taking the time to release resentment And then also, when that time comes and we do forgive, to go back and that time that it comes back to us, that resentment, that thought, that bitterness, to then do it again and again and again. It's not a one-time decision, but it's a process that takes prayer. It takes work, and it often takes time. There are the times that it is I'm sorry, and we move on. But then there's other times that it does take time as part of a process, and we learn to release and to let go of that resentment. So that's the first myth. We often think of forgiveness as a one-time decision, but it doesn't have to be. It usually isn't. It's more of a process. And the second myth, though, is this, that forgiveness is about letting someone off the hook. Don't we really think of that? We think that if we excuse their action, if we forgive them, that means that we're excusing their action, and that means they're going to do it again. And then there's this kind of feeling, right, that you get that if you withhold forgiveness, then you're punishing the other person in some way. We have that like feeling or that thought that we refuse to forgive because we're trying to protect ourselves, and we think that if we refuse to forgive, then somehow we're protecting everybody else. But forgiveness is not excusing what somebody's done. You can forgive someone and still call foul on their behavior and still set healthy boundaries in the relationship. And you can still involve that you identify a wrong in what's going on. See, forgiveness is not about letting the other person off the hook. It's about letting you off the hook. Letting you off the hook. Bishop Desmond Tutu, who was in the apartheid in South Africa when that was taking place, the racism between whites and blacks, he was outspoken about that and the hate that was going on between the groups that was destroying relationships and people. And in one of his writings, he famously said this: "When I talk of forgiveness, I mean the belief that you can come out the other side, a better person than the one being consumed by anger and hatred. Remaining in that state locks you in a state of victimhood, making you almost dependent on the perpetrator. If you can find it in yourself to forgive, then you are no longer chained to the perpetrator. You can move on." See, forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook. You know, think about a time that maybe someone has done something to frustrate you or hurt you. And don't we do this? Don't we hold on to it? And then you kind of play it in your brain over and over again. Like, it's like when you had those like VHS tapes, right? You just hit rewind. You had to hit a rewind button and it went back. And then you play it forward again. And then you rewind it again. And you just play it over and over and over again. And some of us do that. And others of us, or the same people, you know, we do the same thing. We go to a friend or someone in our family and we tell them what that person did. And then we build support for our case. And before, you know, it makes us feel better. And we kind of mount that support that we feel justified. But it just builds into larger resentment. And pretty soon, it's all you can think about. It just eats you up inside. And what's funny is most of the time, the other person has no idea. They've moved on. They're not thinking about you or even what happened, but that bitterness just eats you up inside, that you are the one who is held captive. See, forgiveness is not letting someone off the hook, but it's not allowing yourself to be chained up by what you are feeling. Lack of forgiveness is a way that the enemy actually uses that and propels that relationship to do harm. And that's where it is important that it's not about letting someone off the hook, that you need to tell the person what they did. You need to go to them. That's what the rest of Matthew 18 talks about, to talk to them about what the issue is. It's not that you walk away or that you run away. And you do so just like we talked about last week. You speak the truth in what? Love. You speak the truth in love, and you're honest with them because you care about that relationship. You're honoring the image of God in them. You're releasing them to God, but you're also releasing the anger and the frustration. And when you see forgiveness as that, as release, it becomes less about them and more about us. And that's the second myth, is that usually we think of forgiveness as letting someone off the hook, but it's not. It's letting you off the hook from that bitterness taking root and taking over your life and even dominating the rest of your relationships. That's the second myth there. But the third myth also stands out. We usually think that forgiveness requires an apology and reconciliation. That's a third myth, that we have to think about forgiveness and reconciliation as two different things. Part of what can be the same process. See, reconciliation is the next step after forgiveness. And it requires work, and it is hard to do. That rebuilding a relationship always requires rebuilding trust. And friends, it does not happen overnight. It's built step by step and over time. And sometimes when trust can't be rebuilt, forgiveness can still happen and should happen. That's the first part, is forgiveness. And then you see if reconciliation can happen in that relationship, if the relationship can be restored, how much time will that take? What is the other person willing to enter into that? But forgiveness happens first. And another part of that, though, too, is that forgiveness doesn't demand an apology. Because have you ever done that? Like, I'm going to wait to forgive them until they apologize for that. But you know what you're doing? You're actually putting power in the other person's hands to withhold that from you, to withhold that freedom. And of course, it's harder to forgive someone when someone's cut you off or they don't apologize. But you can still release the anger and frustration and not be dependent on the one who has apologized or not apologized, or wants to enter reconciliation or doesn't. That forgiveness can happen regardless. Forgiveness doesn't require an apology and reconciliation, though those would be great things to do, because once again, forgiveness is about your choice. It's about you, and you releasing that person to God, and allowing God to take action and to uproot that bitterness from our hearts. So those are three myths that I think we have to think about in our everyday life as we encounter those times when people wrong us or hurt us, people that are close to us, people who we work with or our neighbors, that we usually think of forgiveness as a one-time decision, but it's not. We usually think of forgiveness as letting someone off the hook, but it's not. Forgiveness, we usually think of forgiveness as requiring an apology and reconciliation, but it doesn't, though those would be benefits and next steps. Those are the three myths that we have to unpack and we need to avail ourselves to. But what I want to do is at the end of each message here, we kind of enter into like, now what, right? The like flashing red light that like, what do I do with this? I kind of know, okay, well, it's not this, it's not that. What do I actually do with that? What is this week, even when you step out of this room, there may be an opportunity for forgiveness to take place. So I'm going to end with three small applications for you. The first is when it comes to forgiveness, start small. Start small. See, forgiveness is a lot like a muscle. So what would happen if I told everybody to like stand up right now? We're going to go out front of the church. As you guys online, you tell you to go out of your house or wherever you are. Go out in front of the church, and we're going to have a one-mile time trial, right? Who's going to win? Yes. Yes, but what if I told you to do that? Like some of you would like have a heart attack like here and now. That would not be good. Others would be like, what, right? You'd be like, I can't do that. I'm not dressed right. Like I can't do, but all those kinds of things. You know, and that's because like you haven't trained for it, right? You haven't been out running or walking or doing the cardio. Like just like a muscle, forgiveness has to be exercised. We need to practice it. And dare I say, when you practice forgiveness time and time again, starting with the very small things, it becomes easier. It becomes more life-giving. It becomes more about you rather than what the other person's done or not done. And sometimes you realize that maybe a lot of bitterness has built up inside of you. And it's hard to do that because you want to justify yourself. You want to make it right. You want to do that. But the good news is that you can start somewhere. Is practice it, right? So, like I shared my story last week, like when you're driving, right? There's lots of opportunities for forgiveness to happen, you know? Someone cuts you off, right? Okay, that's a great opportunity to practice forgiveness. Like not raising a hand, no hand gestures or fingers or anything coming up, and praying for that person instead. Seriously, practicing forgiveness. Like when the road rage happens, when somebody says something that's uncalled for. You know, once again, not dismissing it, but forgiving. You know, looking and seeing those opportunities. Maybe the time when somebody overlooks you, And you're like, they do that purposely. They must have done that doubt to get me. You make assumptions about things. Like, let it go. Forgive them. Like, maybe they had a hard day and they weren't thinking about you. When the person leaves the dog package, you know what I'm talking about, a little dog package on your doorstep or in your yard, or even they bag it up and then they throw it in your yard, right? That happens too, right? And you're like, who is it, right? I'm going to put the sign up. I'm going to go after the neighbors. Ask the scout who has the big dog that makes the big, you know what. Like, I'm going to look for all that. Like, no, backing up and saying, you know what? Maybe, I don't know what the story was. I'm going to forgive them for doing that. They did it wrong. They left the dog stuff there. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to pick it up, put it in my trash, and go the other way. Practice and start small. But then the second thing is bless them. Bless them. This is a hard thing to do. But when you bless somebody who's wronged you, it flips the script. It's the way of Jesus. Turns things around. Causes the person, what? Pause. Say what? You know, doing an act of kindness for someone who you even want to forgive, even if you haven't forgiven them yet, but you want to forgive, it can help in the process. You never know what God might do. And also, in the bless them, when you need to forgive someone, pray for them. Pray for them. Make it a point to pray for them. Even if there's everything inside you that's, I just can't do that. Like, no, I'm going to make it a point. I'm going to pray for so-and-so. I'm going to pray for their family. I'm going to pray for whatever they're going through. I'm going to pray for a blessing on their life. I'm going to pray for them. It's amazing what happens when you do that. It might not happen right away, but you might hear down the road that something has changed or transpired. To pray for them, to bless them, and to speak well of them. What? Like, instead of going to the friend and trashing them, and what they did this, whatever, speak well of them. It's a way of blessing. Instead of pointing out all their faults, because they probably point out a whole lot about you too, to speak well of them and do good for them. It's amazing what happens and how the Lord begins to intervene in those relationships when we do that. But I think the last thing is probably the most important thing, and that's to remember God's forgiveness. Remember God's forgiveness. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Colossians chapter 3. He says, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. To start with yourself, to recognize and remember the many times that you have needed forgiveness. I don't know, I have to say this. You ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. Daily basis, we mess up. Like, we require forgiveness. And the best forgiveness to receive is that from the Lord, the forgiveness for our sins. To know that we've required forgiveness again. We're the Peter in the story, right? We're Peter. We've messed up and we're asking how many times to forgive. And here we've received from Jesus like a million times of forgiveness. And to remember that we too hurt people. You and I, we hurt people. And there were times that we were mean, or that we were the liars, or we were the cheaters. And we needed forgiveness from God, and we needed forgiveness from someone else. See, grace has been extended to you and to me. And just if we would extend a bit of that to the other, it would make a huge difference. So this week, I want to give you an opportunity to forgive, to be free, to choose to let go of maybe bitterness that has begun to take root or has been taking root in your life and in your heart for a while. Forgiveness starting with receiving forgiveness from God. That's where it has to start, friends. To receive forgiveness from God for our sins, that we can be in right relationship with God, that God's there offering his grace and his mercy and his love. It's up to us to receive that. But then knowing that we also need to forgive ourselves. Maybe there's a regret that has been eating you up from the inside out. To forgive ourselves and to know that the Lord has forgiven us and therefore I can forgive myself for what I've done. And then the third piece is to forgive someone else. Forgive someone else. Just as I have been forgiven, so therefore I am going to let go of that resentment, that bitterness, and I am going to forgive that person. So what I want to do before we come to the table as we close the message today, I just want to take a moment, just close your eyes, just pause for a second. Don't fall asleep, but take a moment, just close your eyes, and just ask the question or answer the question in your heart, where do I need forgiveness today? Where do I need forgiveness? Have I ever received forgiveness from God? Do I feel like I'm too far away or too broken to receive forgiveness? And to know in this moment that forgiveness is open to you, that you have a loving Heavenly Father who sent Jesus to walk this earth, to die on a cross, and be resurrected for you. And it's because of that great love that he offers that forgiveness for your sins, that you no longer have to pay any penalty for them, but that through his grace, through faith, you can receive that today. That there can be freedom here in this place, chains broken, to receive that forgiveness from God. Or maybe you need to receive forgiveness or to accept forgiveness for yourself. There's been something that's just eaten you alive. And you keep beating yourself up over and over again. I messed up. I can't believe I did that again. Forgive yourself. Through God's Holy Spirit, not on your own power, but to allow those chains to just fall away. The freedom of forgiveness to just penetrate your heart, to know that you don't have to carry that burden anymore, that that has been released to God. He knows it, he embraces you, he offers you that freedom, and he loves you. Or maybe for you, it's someone that you need to forgive. Maybe today would just be that start in that process. Like we said, maybe it's not a one-time deal, but maybe that one of those chains would be broken today. That once again, maybe that person has not apologized, maybe they will never. Maybe the relationship is not reconciled, and maybe that is in the future. But asking the Lord's help to release that person, to release that wrong to them. Allow grace to enter into that relationship. And maybe it is something small that you've been holding on to that can be a momentary thing that you can say, I can let that go right now. God, I'm just going to forgive that person. I'm not going to allow that bitterness to take root. And Lord, that you would uproot any bitterness or resentment right now. So Lord, come Lord Jesus. Enter into our hearts and into our lives, Lord. For we have hurt others. We need your forgiveness, Lord. But help us. Help us to forgive those who have wronged us, Lord. So that on the other end, Lord, that we can look back and we can see your work in our relationships. That we can see those friendships that, yes, have lasted through the decades and the hard times. That it could be because of what you have shown us and what you have taught us. And because we're receiving your grace, that we would be known as people who are forgiving and who are forgiven. That we would be different, Lord. And so we confess those things as we come to the table today, Lord. As people in need of your touch, your guidance, because we don't always get it right, Lord, and you know that. Just as you knew Peter when he asked that question, that kind of crazy question, that ironic question of how many times, Lord, and you're like, well, a lot. Keep on forgiving, Peter. Don't stop now, because I've forgiven you all those times. Receive it and then give it.